All right. Tonight, I'm going to give a few thoughts. I've had an unusual week, and the ox kept falling in the ditch. And so I'm not in Peter tonight. We'll get back to Peter next week and be looking at his summary as in what he's been dealing with in chapter 2 and chapter 3. But tonight I'd like to give a few thoughts on something that I've been musing on, meditating on, out of a chapter in a book by a fellow that I've gotten to know, a Scottish divine by the name of Marcus Dodds. And turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The name of Dodd's book is How to Become Like Christ, which has always been a favorite topic in different verses that deal with image bearing and following Christ. I thought the whole book was on it, but it wasn't. It's just the first chapter. And he has different chapters on various things. But they are his thoughts on 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It really begins further up. Let's look at verse 12. Seeing then that we have such a hope, we use great plainness of speech and not like Moses, which put a veil over his face. And so he compares the difference between the plainness of speech, of the apostolic speech concerning the gospel, with the veil that was put over Moses' face, which would be obscuring something. And he goes on to say that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Talking about those Hebrews or Israelis who did not receive Christ, the veil is there that they cannot see Christ. And the veil has to do with the darkened understanding that they have. Verse 15, but even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart, because Moses spoke of Christ. So the comparison is being made of Moses coming down off of Mount Sinai. You know the story, in which he was face to face with God and his skin shone and it frightened the children of Israel. He put a veil over his face to obscure some of the glory of God that was upon him. As Moses had this intimacy with God, and Moses was given an understanding of where the law was heading, what it terminated in. It terminated in Christ. So that when we talk about the law and the prophets, we think about Christ, the two on the road to Emmaus, and they're saying we were sad because we thought Christ was the one, and they killed him, and now he's gone. And then it is said that Christ gave them a lesson from Moses and the prophets about the necessity of the sufferings of Jesus Christ in order to atone for us. So that the veil was taken away in the sense that Christ had come. He was the end of the law to all who believe in Christ. He was the fulfillment of it. He was what the law was pointing to. Deuteronomy 18, about the one who would come, the prophet who would come. And so Moses had some clear views of Christ. Moses was face to face with God. But not all of Israel had the privilege of being able to see and understand in that dispensation what the end of the law was, a greater understanding of how it terminated in the person of the Messiah, of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it says in verse here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which is done away in Christ. So that veil, even as the veil was rent in the temple, there's a veil that was taken away from the minds of those who are converted and saw, oh, okay, everything in the Old Testament was about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah who was to come. Verse 15, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when they shall turn to the Lord, the veil will be taken away. And now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror, the old King James was a glass, is the idea of the mirror. There's only a few times which the scripture talks about a mirror. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Changed into the same image. We, with open face, like Moses, before God, and Moses had that intimacy with God, and it's saying we have an intimacy with God too, because we have come to know Christ. And Christ is the greatest revelation of God to our souls. He is the greatest revelation ever. As the revelation progressed through the centuries, we have the privilege of having the most clear manifestation of who God is by beholding Christ. So Dodd's had some interesting thoughts on the whole idea of how we become like Christ. By beholding him. Dodds writes, I suppose there is almost no one who would deny, if it were put to him, that the greatest possible attainment a man can make in this world is likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly no one would deny that there is nothing but character that we can carry out of this life with us. And that our prospect of good in any future life will vary with the resemblance of our character to that of Jesus Christ. And he's right. All we carry out of this world is our character. Is we carry nothing else. We came into this world with nothing. We leave with nothing. Except our souls. And what character has been instilled there. And whether or not we know the one true and living God. And have been regenerated, converted, and sanctified, being changed by him. Is it really possible, he asks, in a world such as ours to become holy? And then he begins to ask the question and talk about this verse in the sense of where it says in verse 18, we with an open face behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord are changed. That's how we're changed. So he says the text is pretty clear. We're changed into the image of Christ by beholding Christ, by viewing Christ. And he gives a couple of examples, which I thought were very good. I had not heard before. He talks about our lives being a reflection and how that just the way we're created in that way. He said, if you were to witness a man falling off of a scaffold, and then hitting the ground, your face would become disfigured in pain because of what you just beheld. And he's right. We enter into that which we see. Not only would it, for me, it would not only that, but through my whole nervous system, I would feel it. Because there's something about us as human beings that which we behold, we become like it. You know that when you smile at somebody, generally, unless they've had a really bad day, they smile back because they behold the smile. So if they behold something beautiful and something wonderful, then there's an imitation of those things. Now, Dodds believed that part of why Moses put the veil over his face was that so that they could not behold the glory of God going away because they felt as though his authority would have vanished with the glory of God. They would have felt as though his authority was going away. And And there is something to that in the sense that our authority as believers is when we are in the presence of God, that we take on the image of God and take on the thoughts of God, and we begin to resemble the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no authority in and of ourselves. Our authority is that which comes from the Word of God to speak to other souls and to have an influence upon others. And so the only way that we can have such an influence upon others and such an authority, or to speak with authority, is to speak with the authority of the Word of God itself and with the right understanding of that Word, which we can only get by beholding Christ in the Word of God. And Mike is going to exposit for us James, who's going to talk about a mirror. And I'm not going to exposit it, but just to say that James says about how we look in a mirror and then we walk away and we forget what we saw. Some of us are thankful that we forgot what we saw. But it's just a part of human nature for us to forget. And it's the same way with the Lord. This is the reason why you have to go back to the Lord on a day-by-day basis. To be changed into the glory, from glory to glory, there has to be the next glory. There has to be the next day. There has to be the next intimacy with Christ. Because it's like a mirror. We're reflecting Christ, but how quickly we forget what Christ looked like. And we go back, we can fall back into our flesh and our earthly ways. Which is why I said on Sunday, there's no manna. At the end of the day, we're done with the manna, and we need new manna the next day. Because we need to view Christ the next day again, to remember what Christ looked like, so that we can be changed into that image. So we are mirrors of what we see. We are mirrors of what we see. So that if we spend our time looking at and gazing upon that which is evil, then as a Christian, if we spend time in things that are sinful, that takes away from the glory of God. We will not mirror Christ then. Sin by its very nature does not mirror Christ. That's why we have to confess it and be rid of it. In prayer, prayer is a part, not just the study of the Word of God, but prayer. Being in the presence of God. That's where we mirror Christ. That's where we learn Christ, too, in prayer, as well as the Word, both together. Adoration. Think about adoration. What is adoration? What is adoration except conjuring up in our minds the glory of God? All of His perfections, all of His beauty, all of His character, all of these things. As we adore the Lord, we are conjuring up in our mind the greatness of our God. And therefore, we are beholding Him, even as we are face to face with Him in prayer. Because He calls us to Himself in prayer. And confession of sin, which is a part of prayer too, is to rid ourselves of the evil that has been mirrored in us, that we have taken on for the day, and it has diminished the glory of God. So as we confess sin, then we are ridding ourselves of those things which would mirror evil rather than the Lord. And then there is in prayer our thanksgiving to God, our acquiescing in the will of God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as we acquiesce in those things, and as we are thankful to God for all things, we mirror God's absolute holiness and this recognition of God in the greatness of His sovereignty, the greatness of His holiness. He can only do what is right and just and good. He decrees all that comes to pass. And therefore, in our souls, we are recognizing that again, and we are looking upon the God who is sovereign and the God who is absolute and the God who is holy and just altogether. And then we have supplication, And in supplication, we should seek for things that are not just, some of the things are just the physical things of this life. Give us this day our daily bread. And that's all needed. But then beyond that, there should be a supplication for some spiritual things as well. In supplication, we seek for ourselves and for others this mirrored presence of God. That we would know Him, that He would manifest Himself, that He would manifest Himself to this couple over here, to this person here, to this family over here. Because we're asking God to manifest Himself, that they might see in the mirror the glory of God too. So Moses reflected the glory of God because he had been in the presence of God. So we mirror what we view, and that's what we become. And because the mirrored image naturally fades from our memory and from our mind, therefore we need the new vision daily of the Lord and who He is. Being made into God's image puts us to doing, puts us to doing. So the mirror of God's revelation has never been clearer than today. We are at the clearest point of revelation in the history of the world since the canon was closed in the New Testament. Which is why I turned to 1 Corinthians 13. Brother Traver was sharing with us the other day, talking about that which is partial and that which is complete. That which is partial and that which is complete. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. So he contrasts the partial with the complete, the partial with the complete. Because there was a partial revelation until the New Testament canon was completed. And when that which perfect had come, then that which was in part was done away. That is, we no longer had just a partial knowledge. We had the full canon of Scripture and the full knowledge of Christ and who He was. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, understood like a child, and thought like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. So there's partial, and then there's more complete, that which is mature. For now we see through a mirror darkly, because in those days the mirrors were not clear like our mirrors. They were brass, they were other things, and a mirror did not give you a clear reflection of yourself. For now we see through a mirror darkly, but then face to face. The difference between the revelation of God in the old versus the privilege we have of the revelation, the full revelation of God in Jesus Christ now. So that when we go to the Word of God, we have everything we need to see the glory of God. And so, Paul says, 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 3, But we all with open face, not a veil, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that same image. We are changed into that same image. The children of Israel could not bear what Moses was allowed to see and understand. So he puts the veil on his face and he gives them that which they could bear. Christ even said to his disciples at times, there are things that I would tell you, but you can't bear them yet. But we have a privilege of being able to behold the person of Jesus Christ both in prayer and in the Word of God. And if we will partake in that on a regular basis, then we will be changed. We will be changed into that same image. And that's what Peter is going to do. And we'll just read. I'll read it to you. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be in next go around. 1 Peter 3. Peter's been talking about the supernatural work of the Spirit of God in the Christian's life so that he can bear up under unjust sufferings. Just like in the Sermon on the Mount, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who despitefully use you and abuse you. It's a supernatural work of God. And so the next time we are together, we will be looking at 1 Peter 3 when he says in verse 8, finally, he gives a summary. Finally, be all of one mind. Everybody's supposed to have this same mind. Having compassion one another, love his brother, and be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing, and that takes us back to the Sermon on the Mount, contrariwise, knowing that you are called to this, to inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they don't speak hypocrisy. Let him eschew evil and do good, seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So we're not to be like the world and we're not to respond like the world. And when there's unjust suffering, we're not to do like the world does under unjust suffering, because God resists the proud and he resists evil. And therefore, if we wish to have a blessed life in Christ, then therefore we need to be like Christ, which he has given to us already in our studies in Peter at the end of chapter 2. Christ suffered for us, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. Well, so how do we follow in his steps and how do we become like Jesus Christ? We do it by having an open face, beholding the glory of the Lord from glory to glory. Or as John would say in John chapter 1, from grace to grace, we go on. And we have to do it on a regular basis because, as Micah is going to teach us, we're forgetful people. We're forgetful about what we look like, but we're also forgetful about what Christ looks like. And it's looking at Christ and seeing him over and over and over again that you become like him. People talk about that in marriage. When you have somebody that's been married for 60 years together and they begin to even look like each other because they've been married so long and been in each other's presence for so long and they act like each other and everything else. And it is interesting to see. But that's what we want with Christ. We want to look like him and act like him, behave like him, talk like him in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace in Christ our Lord. We thank you for the glory of God that is displayed in the person of Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would manifest yourself to us both in our times of prayer as well as in our times of the study of the Word, that we might see and understand the nature and character of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we might know who God is. If you have seen me, Christ said, you have seen the Father. And so show us Christ, we pray, in all things to make us like him. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.